us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will speak to each one of us now. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I'd just like to thank Lindsay for the article he's written in the newsletter, because it complements what I'm going to say this morning. At the first service, I mentioned as I started, and I'll say it again, that I wanted people to be reminded of what Catherine said to us last week. My problem is, I don't know if you have the same problem, is that an hour or so after I've heard a sermon, I don't really remember what it's all about. And that's why I've mentioned the article. It might not have heard that. Catherine said, she says often when she preaches a sermon, she can't remember what it's about. But that's why I just wanted to mention the article, because if you do want to think a bit more about what's said this morning, during the week when you've forgotten all about it, well, I think what Lindsay has written actually will remind you quite a lot about what we're going to think about this morning. So, yes, I actually do just remember a little bit about last week's sermon. And Catherine introduced Mark's gospel to us, if you remember. And introducing it to us, she pointed out to us that Jesus' life was not lived on a bed of roses. She pointed out to us that after he'd been approved by God at his baptism, he immediately went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that doesn't sound very much. I mean, it's only a few verses, actually, in the Bible. But Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. We only hear a couple of the temptations that he was told. But what the devil was trying to do, he was trying to persuade Jesus to give up his calling, and that was to die on the cross for us. So Jesus, in fact, had a pretty rough time throughout his life. We're told in the passage that he was rejected by the Jewish leaders, and he was rejected by the people often. And we know, in fact, from our reading today, that he would go on to suffer and to die on the cross. What Jesus did when he was on this earth is sort of summarized for us in those very well-known verses in Philippians. Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That was Jesus's purpose, to die on the cross for us. And in this morning's reading, we're told that Jesus warned his disciples of what was about to happen, that he would suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he would be killed and after 3 days rise again. This was not something, as Lindsay pointed out in the article, not something they really understood or wanted. Why? Jesus has surely come to deliver them from their Roman oppressors. How could this be that Jesus was now going to die? So much so that Jesus had to be pretty tough with them. And he turned to Peter, and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And this takes us back to the temptation in the wilderness. All the time in the wilderness, the devil wanted Jesus not to go to the cross. And here again, his own followers are trying to persuade Jesus, or Satan was trying to persuade Jesus through his followers, that he should not go to the cross. Now, this morning, I want us to think about a question that arises in our reading. And it's about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Are we prepared to be followers of Jesus? What it clearly means is that to follow Jesus, becoming a Christian, means that life will not be a bed of roses. And what it isn't, in fact, that life will be easy if we become a Christian. Perhaps some of you have heard of the expression prosperity theology or the prosperity gospel. Sadly, it's preached particularly by some of the American evangelists. And briefly, what it says is this: if you become a Christian, you will have financial blessings and physically all will be well. Actually, when I read the Bible, I actually don't quite find that the Bible says that. I find it very difficult to find support from that, from God's word. But it's very, very easy for us to take the easy things from God's word and ignore or forget about the hard things. I mean, just the psalm we read was 22, and the psalm following it is very well known to you. The Lord is my shepherd. Most of you, I'm sure, could recite it. It'd be very easy, in fact, just to keep hold of the first bit, wouldn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, etc., etc. Wow, that life with the shepherd sounds pretty idyllic. But actually, the psalm does go on, and it says these words: even though I walk through the darkest valley. We're going to come back to the psalm a bit later. But just remember, it's not just walking by those green pastures. It's walking through the darkest valley that the shepherd is with us. When we look at what happened to the followers of Jesus in the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles, we see that they had actually no easy time. Paul, in fact, and I sometimes when I read this wonder if Paul wrote it a little bit with tongue in cheek. He was actually just saying that he knew what it was all about, being a Christian. But if you read and do read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it has quite a lot to say. But he says basically, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's great. I've frequently been in prison. I've been flogged, exposed to death. 5 times I've had 39 lashes. 3 times I've been beaten with rods, pelted with stones, 3 times shipwrecked, etc., etc., etc. Sounds really good, following Jesus, doesn't it? Read it in 2 Corinthians. This is the life of a Christian. But let's just come back to our passage, shall we? William Barclay, commentating on this passage, makes this interesting observation. There is almost startling honesty in Jesus. One could never say that they were induced to follow Jesus under false pretenses. He never offered an easy way. He never offered peace, but he did offer glory. Here, Mark goes on to say, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's perhaps not so easy to understand. In fact, there was a lady at the end of the first service who came to Catherine and I and said, I don't quite know what it means by taking up your cross. I wonder perhaps if it might help a little bit if I read that passage from The Message by Eugene Peterson. It's the New Testament in contemporary language. It reads like this, verses 34 to 37. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driving seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is of no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, to saving your true self. What good would it be to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? What could you ever trade for your soul? That perhaps helps us a little bit to understand what's being said. Basically, what it's saying here is that to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus must come first. We must say yes to Jesus, no to self, no to a life of ease, no to self-seeking, no to self-will, no to putting anything before God, no to wrongdoing and the things that would displease God. And this, well, may mean sacrifice. For some who followed Jesus, including the apostles, it actually meant the ultimate sacrifice of giving their lives because they wished to follow Jesus. And just let me pause here for a minute and say, you know, that's true today. We don't often hear about it. It doesn't actually occur very much in our news. But do you know that every day, every month, thousands of Christians throughout the world give their lives because they follow and love Jesus? And they need our prayers day by day and hour by hour. We have it so easy, really, today. It's easy to forget that there are people, because they love Jesus, who actually give their lives. So let's come back to the question, shall we? Are we willing to be followers of Jesus? Will you please forgive me? Because now I'm going to be a bit personal in answering this question. I think I have to be, you see. I can't answer for you. I can only answer for myself. So am I, and please take this to heart, answer this yourself. Am I willing to be a follower of Jesus? My answer, if you want to say hallelujah, because if it's the same as your answer, please do so. Somebody said to me just before, I would love to say hallelujah. Say hallelujah if you want to. My answer is yes, yes, and yes again. And I'll tell you why. Jesus, when he died on the cross for me. Jesus loves me that much that he died for me. Of course, this applies to you as well. Also, not only did he die for me, but he's with me every hour, every minute of every day. Earlier I quoted from Psalm 23, and it's absolutely true that our Saviour Jesus does lead us in green pastures and beside still waters. But it's also true that in troubled times, he's still there with me. For when I walk through the darkest valley, I can say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. And there's an additional bonus to all of this, because the psalm goes on, and surely your goodness and love will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus promises to be with us in good times and in bad. And I know as many of you look back on your lives, you can say, that's true. Jesus has been with me in the good and in the bad. Jesus gave this commission to his followers and actually to the crowd. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. What a task. Impossible, you say. But no, it's not impossible. Because Jesus said, and surely I am with you to the end of the age. That's what we've got to get hold of. It may be hard going, but Jesus is with us to the end of the age. The other thing we have to remember, and we read this in Psalm 22, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. God rules. Things might not seem to be going very well. In fact, when we look at the state of the church today, we might even think it's a lost cause. We might think the kingdom of heaven's a lost cause. If you think that, you've forgotten. You've forgotten that God is in charge, that God is almighty, that God is sovereign, that he is the ruler over everything. And Jesus is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. At the end of that passage I read from Philippians, we read these words: God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is going to happen. Everybody is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody will bow before him one day. And here then is just another reason why I want to be a follower of Jesus. I do not want Jesus, the Son of Man, to be ashamed of me when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. So, I've told you a little bit about the pros and cons of being a follower of Jesus. And now I leave the answer in your hands. Are you prepared to follow Jesus?